Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to today's Caffeine for the Soul. And today I wanted to talk about something that comes up a lot when I work with clients or talk with students or even answer email from people who enjoy these podcasts. And one of the things that people will say all the time is, wow, you've given me a lot to think about. And there's a part of me that knows exactly what they mean. When you start to question the way we've all been kind of taught the mind works, the way we've all been kind of taught that the world creates our feelings, that we are sort of the creation of our circumstance and sometimes the victim of our circumstances and sometimes the beneficiary of our circumstances. When we begin to glimpse the inside-out nature of reality, the fact that we're living in the feeling of our thinking, not the feeling of our circumstances. Everything we've thought up to that point comes into question. But there's a little bit of me, anytime somebody says, wow, you've given me a lot to think about, that really hopes that they don't. It's not that I would prefer if nobody ever questions anything I say at all. In fact, I'd like people to explore anything they hear me say and see if they can see it for themselves. But it's just that when we think about things in a certain way, when we try to logic them, which is usually what people mean when they say, I've got to think about it, right? If somebody says, you've offered them something or somebody's offered you something, let me go away and think about it. It either means I just need to get away from you, or it means I need time to logic this out and to figure out whether this is the right thing and to figure out if this is true. And it's not that there's anything wrong with figuring things out that are figurable outable. It's that the nature of life, the nature of the mind, the nature of the human experience is knowable, but it's not figurable outable. So I talk sometimes about no-brainer decisions. And a no-brainer decision is literally a decision where you don't even need to go to your brain to work it out and to gather the facts. You just know. It's a yes or it's a no. And in fact, most of the decisions, and I'm using air quotes inappropriately in a podcast, but most of the things that we would call decisions if we stood outside ourselves, we don't even think about. We just do them. The things we call decisions are when they're not no-brainers, when we think we have to think about it. But at another level, we either know or we don't know. And if we know, well, no problem. And if we don't know, to me, it's always been a strange idea that we would be better off guessing than opening up a space to let something new occur to us, to let a knowing come through. Now, that use of the mind, it's almost a passive use, but it's not really passive because you're present with something. You're reflecting on it. You're holding it in front of the mirror long enough to see something new, as opposed to breaking it down into its component parts and analyzing it and trying to work it all out. So if somebody says, well, you give me a lot to think about, and what they mean is, boy, I can't wait to open up some space in my mind and just really sit with these ideas that you've been talking about and really look at them and see what I can see and see what comes to my mind about them, then I think that's the most beautiful thing in the world. But what if they mean is, oh, okay, I need to go work this all out. I know they're not going to see, because some things aren't workable outable. They're just knowable. I sometimes use a visual metaphor for the difference between sort of the three approaches that I hear talked about when you don't know. One is just leave it completely. Just completely let it go. And the problem with that is sometimes it never comes back. So you take it off your mind, but it, you know, occasionally you get an insight into it, and occasionally you remember that it was a question 3 years later. And that would be, if we drew it, that would be like, my geometry's gone, but I think that would be what we is called an obtuse angle. So it's more than 90 degrees. So if we're almost leaning so far back that we're supine, you know, so as not to get our mind caught up in the problem. Now, the other approach, the figuring out approach, is right, I need to work it all out. And that's like an acute angle where we're hunched over it and trying to work it all out and working through the detail. And okay, so it's, you know, if you remember the blind men and the elephant, well, you know, this, it's very thick, so it must be a tree, but you kind of lose sight of the fact that you're just grasping its leg. Or, well, you know, based on this, it's like a bat. And you lose sight of the fact that you're just holding the ear. You're too close to it to see. You can't see the forest for the trees. Now, there is a sort of a third way. This path of reflection. This being with it. Looking at it, exploring it. And that would be like a right angle. You're neither taking your hands completely off, nor are you trying to make insight happen. You're just opening up a space for new things to occur, to see fresh. And the beautiful thing is, when you see for yourself, there's nothing else to figure out. You know. And if your knowing is to go forward, you go forward. If your knowing is to pull out, you pull out. And if your knowing is to not do anything, then there's really nothing for you to do. So I hope you have fun exploring that and playing with that for yourself. Until next time, have fun, learn heaps, and I'll talk with you soon.